So one of the things that most people gravitate toward is newness. When I was an invisible fencing dealer, it was new. And how many times have we heard somebody said, hey, I got this idea for a great invention. I think it's going to be really, really crazy. I think we can go make millions of dollars from that. But a lot of times, new takes a long time to gain traction. Right? I was just watching a documentary the other day, and I was looking at the invention of the toothbrush. Do you have any idea how long it was from the time the toothbrush was invented until the actual time that it became something that we used in the mass market? 100 years. That ballpoint pen that you're holding in your hand, right, replaced the fountain pen. Very significant improvement over what the faults of a fountain pen was. But it took 50 years to take over as from the fountain pen as an ink-sourced writing material. So sometimes newness is where people kind of gravitate to, but I will tell you that oftentimes it takes a long time. And I had mentioned earlier that I was an invisible fencing dealer, and the reason I bothered to go ahead and go down that path is because, again, it took us roughly 7 years, the term of that patent, to educate people that such a product existed. In fact, I would say that at the conclusion of that particular patent expiration, that a vast majority of the people still didn't understand that such a product existed. Now, when they went out there to purchase a fence, after that point, there was a lot of people, because the patent had expired, that went in there. So there was a huge glut of marketing that went in there from clone companies that were advertising similar kinds of products. And that's where the awareness really kind of took off from. So I always tell people, quite frankly, when it comes to something that's new, and they say, well, listen, I really want to patent this product, I sit there and say, well, that means all of that is on you to go ahead and create an awareness, a brand awareness of that particular product, that's an option for you. But if you put that into the open space, there's a better opportunity for that. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we kind of go along. Another value proposition that's typical is better performance. I used to be in the computer industry. Quite literally, when we would develop a computer, the clock speed or the speed of that CPU was usually significantly faster than the first version. As a matter of fact, what we did is through firmware, we would literally turn the clock down. So we would have a CPU in there that could actually move a lot faster and handle a lot more transactions, but we literally retarded the speed of that processor when we sold the first one. Because 6 months later, all we had to do was a slight firmware upgrade, and now we could increase that clock speed, and we would create another version. So the people who bought Gen 1 now had an opportunity to say, it's not fast enough for me, I get to the bleeding edge, I'm going to sell my Gen 1 computer for a Gen 2 to get that faster clock speed. And by the way, 6 months later, we clicked that clock speed up again. Everything is exactly the same inside there, but we would just kind of control those as we go in there. And if you think about that, automobiles and PC manufacturers do that all the time, right? Every time you go out there, you buy a car, this one's got more horsepower, it goes faster, it corners better, all those other types of things that are out there. So that's certainly another value proposition that you can go ahead and look at. Another one is customized software. I recently downloaded an app called IFTTTT. Have you ever heard of that before? It stands for If This, Then That. And essentially what it does is it takes into account all the things that are going on within my phone, my mobile device, and depending on what that is, it will go ahead and do a certain function that I ask it to. It's very customizable. Mine application is different than anybody else's in here. So I might say, listen, when I enter my vehicle, which is a Bluetooth-enabled vehicle, go ahead and turn on the Bluetooth. When I leave, please turn that off. When I go home at night, turn on my Wi-Fi. When I leave, please turn it off so save my battery life. Oh, by the way, when my battery gets to this particular point, shut off these particular appliances. You know, when I'm out and about, be sure to turn on my location services. When I'm at home, turn them off. Do you feel what I'm saying? So I get the chance to do a lot of those types of things. Customizable. So that's another value proposition that people can go ahead and look at. Getting the job done. So when I think about that, I think of like a condo. Why does this person buy a condo rather than a detached home? Because at the end of the day, they pay somebody who takes care of all the maintenance, right? There's no painting of the house. There's no dealing with landscaping issues. There's none of those types of things that occur. Because in this particular situation, when you own a condo, you're literally buying something where You're getting everything done for you. So sometimes I think about that. I had a bit of an epiphany over the weekend, and I was sitting there thinking about the difference between what I'll call do-it-yourself people and do-it-for-me people. We often think about, I have a service, for example, maybe I have a lawn care business, and maybe my customers are, in fact, homeowners. I might go to them and say, I will cut your grass. That is a do-it-for-me type of a service. But in many cases, that homeowner may say, I'm not a do-it-for-me kind of person. I am a DIY kind of a person. I cut my own grass. But at the same time, maybe I'm a landscaper. I understand a lot more about that particular industry than that particular homeowner does. And maybe that homeowner suffers issues that they don't know how to resolve or even figure out. A good example is spots in your lawn. Why all of a sudden does my grass seem to die? Why do I have this propensity to get weeds in one corner of my yard? Well, as a professional landscaper, I probably have some answers to that. So maybe instead of you sitting there saying, listen, I have a do-it-for-me service, maybe there is an avenue for you to also have a DIY service. Maybe you say, hey, for a small fee, I will send you a brochure, or I will come out for a consulting service, and I will look at your lawn, and I will make those recommendations and tell you, guess what? The reason you have these brown spots is you have not properly aerated your yard yet. Or maybe there's some type of a fertilizer or chemical treatment that would take care of some kind of a fungus that you've got in your lawn. The homeowner probably doesn't even know those questions to ask, but you as a professional in that particular industry know those answers. So when you think about those types of things, it may not only be because you're dealing with a do-it-for-me service, but maybe there's a DIY ancillary service that you might be thinking about. Another value proposition is the design. And when I think about design, I think about the Dyson vacuum. For as long as I can remember growing up, vacuum cleaners had bags. Bags had problems. As soon as you put a bag in, it worked great. But after a few hours, I mean, the bags got, even though the contents might not have been full, the small microparticles filled the sides of the bags, and it just didn't suck quite as much as it did before. Well, Dyson actually happened to be in a sawmill and saw how they separated sawdust. So at a sawmill, which were larger particulate particles in the air, and he said, hey, you know what? I think I could take something that works in this particular industry and apply it to the home vacuum market, and a design was born. So sometimes it's a new design that you might be coming up to. Oftentimes, it might be just the brand or status of a product. I know I bought an Escalade for my wife a number of years ago, and at that time, the Escalade and the Tahoe were almost identical vehicles. It was simply a badging issue. The headrest had a little Cadillac emblem in it rather than the Tahoe Chevy emblem in it. I mean, they when I bought the vehicle, they said, hey, we put a couple little things here and there, but for all practical purposes, it was almost the exact same car, yet quite frankly, it sold for about $5,000 more than the similar Tahoe did. So you are literally paying for brand status. I see people sitting here with Starbucks cups here today, all right? Starbucks is another example of brand status. Quite frankly, there are products in Starbucks, for example, that will help differentiate you, will help you identify yourself as whether you are somebody who is budget conscious or not, depending on what you buy. Because quite frankly, that basic cup of coffee versus the one that's got a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of whipped cream in it might have a cost premium of a buck and a half or more, and probably less than a nickel worth of materials that go in there. So if that's what you want, you're sitting there saying, I am not a cost-sensitive individual. I am about wanting what I want. A couple other value propositions that we will often deal with. Price. Right, we are all aware of Southwest Airlines. Everything they do is to maintain the lowest possible price to their consumers. Walmart is another good example. Very price sensitive. You know, what's the Walmart saying? Everyday low prices, right? That's what they do. They try to figure out how can we buy the products at a large enough volume so that we can get the maximum volume discount? How can we work on a distribution system to make sure that we can get it there at the cheapest cost? How can we build a facility that is the most efficient possible so that we don't have higher operating costs? Everything is to drive the cost of the product down, because that's what their value proposition is, to keep their price down. Just like Southwest Airlines. If you want to go buy, you want peanuts, you're going to have to bring them on board because you're not going to go ahead and get them when you fly with them. Another value proposition that's very common out there is what I'll call the cost reduction type of value proposition. So many years ago, when I was first looking at selling my business, we contacted a company here in town that was used to make floppy disks. And of course, floppy disks were on their way out. And it was a publicly held company. And now what are you going to do if you don't sell floppy disks anymore? And so they were looking to reinvent themselves. And we, being a documentation and training person, started to recognize that, hey, we buy Microsoft products all the time, such as Word and Excel and so on. This would be a great platform to literally create a version, but instead of you buying the software, why don't you just lease it for the time that you need it? And then that way you never have to upgrade your system or anything like that. And that was really a bit of the genesis of software as a service, or what we call SaaS today. And so SaaS is a good example of cost reduction. We try to do that because we don't want to have this big cash outlay to buy the Microsoft product. I'd rather go and just pay for it as I need that. Right? We think about that too in our businesses, right? I don't, if I have a construction business, I shouldn't run out and go buy a backhoe. If I don't have a use for it every day, I should probably think about leasing it when I need that, but not keeping it in my inventory constantly. So cost reduction is another value proposition that you're offering to your customers. Risk reduction is yet another value proposition. I currently have a vehicle in my fleet that is a Dodge pickup truck. When I purchased that Dodge many, many years ago, one of the beautiful things about it was at the time it offered the longest warranty of any vehicles out there. It was 7 years or 70,000 miles. All the other vehicles at the time were like 2 years or 24,000 miles. So simply by saying, hey, we have a very durable product, we're going to go ahead and offer a longer term warranty. And people say, listen, I don't want to deal with maintenance issues. I would like to know that when I purchase this vehicle for 70,000 miles, I know that if anything breaks, you're going to repair it for free. That's another value proposition that people want the guarantee. Why do people buy a new vehicle? Because they don't want the maintenance hassle, right, as opposed to an old product. If you were to go buy a used car, you usually get it as is. But think about that. If you sold a used car and said, but I'm going to give you a 12,000 mile or 12 month warranty on that, that would make you far better at choosing that particular model or from that dealership over another dealership simply because they offered that as a warranty incentive. Accessibility. When I think about accessibility as a value proposition, I often think of timeshares. Right? We can't all afford to have a beautiful house in the tropics that we're going to go spend vacation every year, right? When we buy a vacation home, we go there every summer. In the meantime, though, for the 11 and a half months or whatever that we own this particular vacation home and that we're not there, we still have maintenance issues, right? We have to hire a landscaper to go ahead and do some landscaping work, perhaps. Maybe we have a roof leak, so we have to hire a contractor to go do that. We have to keep the heat on. We have to cover the furniture with sheets or something to keep the dirt off of them so that when we actually do spend our time there. And so that was a very expensive option. And so when timeshares became available, they said, hey, all you do is we're going to take the ownership in this particular building, we're going to divide it into 52 weeks, and you just buy one share, 1/52nd of this whole program. So again, accessibility to things that people normally wouldn't have by dividing those things up. I'm an oil and gas guy. Quite frankly, there's not a lot of people who would literally write a check for maybe $2 million or drill a hole in the earth on the hopes that it's going to produce oil. So what a lot of times these exploration and production companies do is they will take the oil well, they will break it into units, and then they will distribute that to various other players out there. And essentially what happens is now you have this diversified deal because now you can invest maybe in four wells. One of them may come up dry. One of them may be the best producer that you have in your inventory. And the other two may be maybe break-even kinds of things. But again, you're spreading your risk out and you're providing accessibility to something that people normally didn't have. Mutual funds are a good example of that. You don't buy all into one particular fund. You have accessibility because now you get to spread all these things out. So is that your value proposition that you're offering your customer? And lastly, of the common value propositions is what we'll call convenience and usability. So if you remember, of course, the iPod was a very new product. I mean, it does, you can actually, this gives a good example of the fact that you may have several different value propositions that you may be offering. But if you think about the iPod, when the iPod came out, it came out along with iTunes that you could put on your computer so that you could manage your music library and then just port that down to your iPod. So collectively, it was a dual type of a thing. Not only did they sell you a piece of hardware that allowed you to now listen to music, and it was now competed with, you know, tools like the Sony Walkman or something that required a cassette that you had to carry around the media with you. Now it was on a solid state device. But now you could have the, you could literally, instead of buying that entire cassette for all you cared about was one stinking song on that, you could go to the iTunes library and buy that one song and make your own type of a library. So in this particular case, it was convenience and usability as a kind of combined function. So that's principally what I want to talk about with respect to value propositions.